Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text is the reading just read. Please be seated. You've seen them on TV, those bright, shiny new cars and other products introduced by strong, powerful, well-built men and curvy, attractive, sexy women. They are new, get great gas mileage, are the latest, the greatest, the cheapest, and all wonderful things that can be conceived of. Did you ever buy one of these things? You thought when you got it that all your troubles would be over, and yet, as good as they looked, they didn't live up to the hype. Maybe inside of it was a fatal flaw, and the first time you drove the car off the lot and the value of the car dropped in half, the thing broke down as you pulled out of the drive. Or perhaps as your child played with that brand new toy, it broke very quickly under the pressure of being used by your child. It doesn't seem that things are as good as they look, does it? What about people? As good, solid, confessional Lutherans, we are good people, aren't we? Our neighbors, they're pretty good too, aren't they? They mean well, don't they? People are good at heart, isn't that right? We're told that all the time by people in our congregation. Well, he was a good man. She meant well, right? Our society is convinced that everyone really is good at heart. It believes that people really don't sin against God, well, at least not deliberately. They make mistakes. They have errors in judgment. And have you heard a number of times as politicians have apologized for all manner of corruption and evil? Well, I just made some bad choices. To prevent people from doing these bad things, we're told that all we have to do is educate them. They just didn't know any better, so if we teach them well, pour more money into our school systems, train them from the time that they're little to have good self-esteem, no matter what we do, if we educate them, they will get better. And if they need something, if maybe they're so poor that they might just desperately do something bad, maybe if we feed them, if we clothe them, if we meet every need, if we tell them what they should do or not do at every step along the way, or if they need it, send them to a counselor, won't that make a difference? Won't they be good people then? The problem is that teaching people doesn't do anything about the core problem that lies within us, and that is that we are born as sinners. No matter what we think or what we do, no matter how hard we teach, no matter how good the education, no matter how effective the welfare programs that we have, no matter all of the great counseling that we have and we give to them, and the medical cares and the drugs that we can use to calm them down or hep them up in order to make them work well, no matter what we do, it doesn't seem to change anything, does it? And this should not surprise us, because the problem is not on the outside. It's not on environmental conditions. It's not because we got a bad break in life or because our ancestors were persecuted or mistreated. It is not because our mother or our father did something bad to us that makes us do evil things. It is because in our hearts we are sinners. And you can't, in the words of Jesus, make a bad tree give forth good fruit. You just can't do it. People are evil because we are sinners from birth. King David, after his most infamous sin with Bathsheba, told that in his prayer that we read over and over and over again in Psalm 52, that we are sinners from birth. In sin, my mother conceived me, he says. Even people who seem good on the outside are really selfish and sinful at heart. Anyone who has had a child, especially recently, realizes that the moment that child arrives home, they're supposedly sweet and innocent, but don't feed them when they want to be fed, don't change them when they want to be changed, don't pick them up at 3 a.m. when they want to be picked up at 3 a.m, and they will not be particularly selfless and patient and kind to you. They will scream, they will yell, and they will carry on. And I'm afraid it doesn't get much better when we get to be adults. When the price of gas goes so high, the first thing we do is complain that we are being unjustifiably persecuted. The moment somebody cuts us off in traffic, we are most inclined to send the universal sign of displeasure out our window to them. We are, you see, even those who are in Christ, still burdened by sin in our hearts because of our sinful nature. And so, if you really want to be honest, apart from Christ, none of us deserves any grace, any mercy, any love from God whatsoever. What we deserve is to be separated from God now and throughout eternity, and to have that happen quickly and as painfully as possible. Because, you see, we were born as enemies to God. But God does not want it to be that way. He is not willing that any of us should perish. From the day that he created us and created things in heaven, he intended by his love to save us. He made the world knowing full well what we would do with it, knowing that Adam and Eve would very promptly fall into sin, and that every one of us would be born sinners from that point on. That is why he sent the Son of God, the perfect sinless Lamb of God, who died to pay the price for our sins. Having paid that price for our sins and brought eternal salvation to us, he sent his Holy Spirit in baptism for most of us when we were very small and brought to the altar. And that day, God washed away our sins and wrote his law upon our hearts. So now, alongside of that sinful nature, is a saintly nature as well, one that loves God and wants to do good and does want to serve him forever. Now we are both good and bad at the same time. All of you who have now come to the seminary have a right to expect that the place is probably a little bit better than being out in the world. But I'm here to tell you that even I am still a sinner. And so once in a while, I may just disappoint you. All you have to do is ask the professors. And yet, still, there is that good nature within us that now, because of Christ, can serve him. Now, when we are tempted to sin, we can pray and say, Jesus, I am crucified with you. Please now you live rather than me. You live through me to do good, so that now our hearts, being cleansed, can do good for Christ's sake. In the meantime, as we struggle through this life, we have the knowledge that God loves us and cares for us in spite of our sinful nature. That having seen this bad tree, rather than chop it down, he dug around the roots, put in fertilizer, and watered it, and placed in it the strength that can bear fruit to life everlasting. And we can also look forward to that last day when finally we will only be good people, because God will have cleansed us both on the outside and the inside as well. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.